And this morning, the scripture reference that we're all going to be reading from together, the one that we won't have up on the screen, is once again in the book of Matthew. And so if you didn't bring a Bible, you're welcome to grab one from the chair in front of you. But I would encourage you to find Matthew chapter 1, mark that, and a little bit later we'll be reading exactly from that portion of scripture as we get into the message today. We are approaching Christmas from a little different perspective this year in this series called Christmas. Christmas. And that's because as beautiful as the season can be, it can also get sometimes a little messy, which really should come as no surprise given the fact that the world is a pretty messy place itself. If you notice, almost everything that makes the headline news today is a grim reminder of the mess that this world is in, not only internationally, but also right here in this country, and even right here in Colorado Springs, in our own backyard. Now, if you've been a person of faith for any time, I would imagine there's a couple of things likely that you've discovered in your faith walk. And one of the things I think you would discover is that sometimes when your life gets in a mess, God will step in to rescue you from the mess. And we appreciate those times. I hope you've had one of those moments when God has just kind of miraculously reached down and altered the situation or provided in an amazing way, and he's rescued you from the mess. But sometimes God chooses to work in the mess and through the mess. And he kind of leaves us there because of his plan and his purpose, and he's got something he wants to accomplish. And so he chooses to work in the mess and through the mess. Well, today, as we get started, I want to show you a blast from my past. And don't worry, it's not one of my old girlfriends. Diane's in the service, so I wouldn't dare show that. What I want to show you, this blast from my past, is this pic right here. Anybody recognize that? It's called the Wild Chipmunk, and it was one of the most memorable rides at Lakeside Amusement Park when I was growing up. Now, has anybody had a ride on the Wild Chipmunk? There's a couple of you there. Good. Then you know what it's like. What gave it the thrill, it's kind of a roller coaster, was that all of a sudden, and if you look at the track, you can see it, you're going in one direction, and it whips you in the complete opposite direction that you have been going. Amazing thing is, we paid money to have it do that to us, which is beyond me sometimes. And I bring that up because today we need to talk about messy lives. Messy lives. And when I thought of messy lives, it made me think a little bit of the Wild Chipmunk, as I'm reminded that life can sometimes do exactly that to us. We're going along in one direction. We've got our plan and our destination selected and chosen, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, life throws in this unexpected turn. And we're like, what just happened? Have you ever been there? You see, an unexpected change in circumstances, I've found, can make life a little bit messy. Now, honestly, when I came up with the word unexpected, and I chose that because it is something that we have some expectation about, I came up with a bunch of other unwords that I could have put in there just as easily, like undesirable or unwanted or unwelcome or unanticipated. What I mean is, it happens when we've made plans, but all of a sudden, they get altered by some unexpected event, change in circumstances. For example, someone might say, you know, I was planning to get married, but at the last minute, my fiancé called it off. I was studying to be an engineer, but I ran out of money for college. I was hoping that I could have a child of my own, but I just found out that's probably impossible for me. I was preparing to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary, but then my wife passed away. I was planning on going on this incredible vacation, but then Dad ended up in the hospital. Or I was planning on the whole family being home for Christmas, but our son just had a crisis and now he's not coming. And when the plan, when the expectation you have doesn't unfold the way that you thought it would, or the dream that you've had in your mind kind of veers off more towards a nightmare, or when your agenda gets changed or a surprise upsets the plan, that's when life can get kind of messy. And just so you know, there are times when that happens in my life, in our lives. Just this last month, I saw that happen. From the beginning of November to the end of November, we thought we were going one way and ended up in a completely different direction. Now, I don't know if I've told you before, but if I haven't, I need to probably tell you more and show you more pictures. But we have one granddaughter, Emma Rose, who's 3.5 years old, and she is the most beautiful granddaughter you'll ever see. So we love grandkids. We're looking forward to it. And so at the beginning of November, we found out there's a possibility that we were going to go from one grandkid to four. Man, we were excited about that. We found out our oldest son and his wife were expecting a child. Our middle son and his wife were expecting twins, twin boys. We were going to go from one to four. But a few weeks into November, we found out that our oldest son and his wife had a miscarriage, and so that one was taken off the table. That happens to a lot of folks. And then a week or two later, we found out that our middle son Blake with the twin boys, that they were having some troubles in the pregnancy. They had to do an emergency surgery to try to save them both. They ended up only being able to save just one. We still have that one, but instead of one to four, now it's down just to two. It was an unexpected change in circumstances. Now, I share that with you just to know that we go through that as well, and it's probably happened to most of us here. And if it's where you find yourself right now, I would imagine that emotions might be running a little high, because you've experienced maybe a disappointment and you're frustrated. Perhaps you're even angry. You may feel lost. You may feel abandoned. You may even be in a panic because so many things seem to be out of your control. And if that's where you are right now, you may feel like you're in a lousy place, and frankly, life isn't very fun today. If, on the other hand, on life's timeline, your change in circumstances actually happened a while back, maybe even months or years ago, you may have been able to gain a little different perspective now. And that's because as you look back, you begin to see how God strengthened you from this side of the event and how you experienced God's promises at work in your life. You might have even been able to see how God actually had a better plan that just needed some time to be able to unfold. If it was a while back, I'm guessing that you've seen how God was at work and maybe even brought blessing out of your mess. And today you might even be saying, as you look back, wow, God, thank you for that change of plans. I didn't like it in the moment. I shed a lot of tears, but now I can see that your different plan was an even better plan. But when you're in the middle of it, it's kind of hard to see what God is doing. But as time passes, it gives you the advantage of observing a bigger picture. So can we be honest today? Life is messy, isn't it? Plans change. Surprises come. Can God make any sense out of your Christmas? If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to see God working in a mess, a bit of a mess. So we're going to start reading with verse 18, and then we're going to read on down through verse 25. It starts like this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, many scholars today believe that Mary was just a young girl, possibly in her early teens when this happened, because that's how things were done back then. Families promised their kids in marriage, arrangements were made, plans were all put in place. She was just a young Jewish girl promised in marriage like thousands of others. But then her life kind of gets a little messy. She was on track to get married publicly and with honor, but now due to this miraculous pregnancy, Joseph, her fiancé, is trying to figure out a way how to divorce her quietly. I mean, it's messy. And don't forget Joseph in here. Joseph had planned to become a husband with a new wife, but now think of him. He's stunned, kind of embarrassed, suspicious, angry. Suddenly, life gets a little bit messy. Now, fortunately, as we look at this story, Joseph and Mary can give to us this morning some very helpful steps to take when life gets messy. Some things that we can do as we learn from them about what to do when life gets messy, because it's going to get messy. The first thing that I think Joseph and Mary would encourage us to do when life gets messy is, first of all, to do this, to pause. Pause so that you can kind of gain some perspective. And I would just encourage you, make sure you pause before you panic, because when things like this happen, our first inclination is to panic. When life gets messy, our wheels start turning, don't they? What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? And we can begin to panic as our minds grasp for some kind of quick solution. Now, if I'd been Joseph, I can't imagine how I would have responded. But there had to be almost a knee-jerk reaction within him that made him want to expose Mary for what could only be unfaithfulness, and then distance himself as far as possible from the situation. But apparently, he paused. He paused long enough to gain some perspective, and it was in that pause that God was able to speak his larger purpose into Joseph's life. Listen, if you can hear, for the pause. In verses 19 and 20, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her. He had in mind. What did that mean? He'd pause to kind of think through, what are my options? How should I do this? What should I be doing? He had in mind. And it says, but after he had considered this, so he was still just considering it. He hadn't just thrown her out automatically. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And there it was. He had his answer. Now, I know some of you are sitting there and you're saying, wow, I wish God would speak like that to me in my situation. That could be very helpful. What I would want to say to you today is maybe he has. See, before you go running off to make your own rescue plan, before you attempt to organize your way out, don't think that a word from God might not be helpful, but we have to make sure we listen. Now, let me just remind you that God has only occasionally spoken directly to anyone. You can read through the entire Bible, and in just a few situations has he ever spoken to someone directly. He has, however, communicated abundantly to us through his word, the scriptures. And when we get into those moments when circumstances change, oftentimes fear is one of the first things we experience. In fact, I think it's interesting that when you go to the scriptures, the most often repeated command in all of scripture is, do you know what it is? It's fear not. That's the most often repeated command. Hey, don't fear. And so you may need to go to God's word when you're in the middle of your mess and say, what am I going to do? And you'll find yourself like David in Psalm 56, where he says, you know, when I'm afraid, I'm going to put my trust in you, God. God, in whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not going to be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? See, God always speaks into the mess, but it requires that our eyes are open, our minds are listening, and our hearts are receptive to his will, which is most often revealed in his word. He wants to speak into our lives, and he tends to speak to people who are listening. But often, you know what our problem is? Instead of listening to God, you know what we're doing? We're listening to ourselves. And do you know what we're usually telling ourselves in the middle of a situation like that? Have you ever noticed? It's worst case scenario, isn't it? Oh, this is terrible. It's going to be awful. This is not going to work out. Things are just going to be horrible in my life from now on. And we're telling ourselves those things. So I want you to be careful, and maybe instead of just listening to yourself, it could be very important when you get in those moments that you try to talk to yourself. After you've listened to God and you've heard from him, you're going to need to talk to yourself. You may need to even ask yourself some hard questions. And again, fortunately, we get a look into David's spiritual life because he kept a journal. That's called the Book of Psalms. And in Psalm 42, notice how he asks himself the hard questions. He says, and he must have been in one of those messes of life. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So sometimes you're going to need to listen to God and then talk to yourself. Now, when I mention pausing, I want to remind you this morning that pausing is not about procrastinating. Pausing is not about procrastinating. And those of us who love to procrastinate say, well, good, I'll put it on pause for a long time. Pausing is about making sure that our perspective is clear and that we proactively respond instead of unthinkingly react. And that leads to the second critical response when life unexpectedly changes our circumstances. And that is, you ought to go with what you know. You need to go with what you know. Now, what do you know? You probably know more than you realize. And so let's look at Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph got the word from the angel, and it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, I don't think that any of us in this room can really fully appreciate how difficult all of this must have been for Joseph. I mean, there's no way possible that he could have made any sense out of any of this. And so what did he do? He obeyed what he knew. He followed his instructions. He was faithful to his vow to remain with and be pure with his wife. He was faithful to name his child Jesus. He simply did what he had been instructed to do. Now, most of you here probably have gotten into the Bible at one time or another. Have there ever been portions of the Bible where you said, I cannot understand what I'm reading? Just so you know, that happens to me. There are portions of the Bible I'd say, I'd love to understand what that means. But you know, I have to admit too, there's a lot of other portions of the Bible that I completely understand. And those are the ones I really have the most trouble with. You know why? Because I ought to be doing them. And I'm not always. That's why I love what that wise old theologian Mark Twain once said. Mark said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. See, the real question is, are you doing what you know you're supposed to be doing? Joseph didn't have all the answers, but he had enough faith to follow through on what he knew. And really, remember, obedience is always active. You can't really be obedient without there being some type of activity that takes place. And this is so clear in the Bible narrative. I mean, we just saw it. But as another example, we could look at another passage just shortly after Jesus was born. In Matthew chapter 2, we find this story. Again, it's amazing. It says, when they had gone, and they were, of course, the wise men, the magi who had come to visit the Christ child. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord again appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Don't miss how powerful that was. I mean, as he left that night, he must have had some real questions about what life was going to be like as a fugitive on the run living in Egypt. And yet when God said to him, hey, get up and go, what did he do? He got up and he went. Isn't it true that most of the time obedience is about you and I getting up off our duff and doing the right thing? Obedience is always active. And when God tells us what to do, it is always for our best. It may not be the most convenient or the easiest thing to do, but it's always for our best. And when we miss it, we're probably going to add to the mess. In fact, when you don't follow God's way, the mess often gets messier. And I've seen that happen in a lot of people's lives. So you may need to pause to get some perspective. You may need to go with what you know and just do the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. The third step you should take to get through the messes of life is to simply trust God for what you don't understand. And let's face it, there's a lot that we probably aren't going to understand. Now, Luke records for us Mary's reaction after receiving the news of this unexpected change in her circumstances. We're going to start in Luke 1 with what the angel said. The angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, if you're Mary, do you think you'd be thinking to yourself, what on earth does that mean? "So the Holy One to you, born of you, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. You know, if we're going to make it through the messes, we're going to have to know that, and we're going to have to trust it. But you know, all too often, we're ready to wave the white flag of surrender far too early. Or we get in a rush to push the little red button and kind of explode the whole situation. That's when we need to remember that, hey, maybe God's not done yet. If your heart is still beating, then He's still at work in your life. And the level at which He will work is often determined by what your trusting faith is willing to pursue. So you need to trust Him. In fact, I would imagine one of the best verses in the scripture that you could commit to memory would be found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I've gone to it many times in my life when circumstances get messy. Because it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." And if we're willing to trust, it's amazing what that trust will do in our lives. In fact, trust, real trust, does something. It generates in us assurance and peace and calm and even courage when you're willing to trust. The reason I know that is because Mary chose to trust in spite of unbelievable circumstances. And her trust allowed her to respond to this preposterous news with all of those things, an amazing assurance and peace and calm and courage. Think how you would be thinking if you just heard that. You know what her response was? "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Wow. That's what trust does. But you know, that's hard because we like to be in control. And so when we're not, we stew, we worry, we fret, we're anxious. We'll even try to put handles on things that don't have anything to hang on to. We'll try to make it happen. We'll try to force the situation when we'd just be much better off to trust. Because trust is at the core of being a Christ follower. Trust is where all of us need to be able to live. So that when we read a verse like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, our mess doesn't get the best of us. Because we remember and we trust that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Doesn't promise that everything happens to you is good. God just says, "I'm going to work good in the things that happen to you." And if you're saying, "Well, how can I be sure that that would be God's plan for me?" Well, verse 32, he backs it up and he says, "Hey, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" When life gets messy, and it will, won't it? Trusting God is going to be the key to being able to bring you through. God, you can be assured, is at work in your mess. So here's a couple of important questions for you to answer for yourself when life gets messy. If you're to say, "Well, what should I do about what Brian said today?" Here's what you should do. Answer these questions when life gets messy. How or where do I need to obey God in my life right now? I mean, what do I know? I should probably go with what I know. And so some of you here, you know there's something that God's been tapping you on the shoulder or telling you that you need to do, and that is what you ought to do. Some of you here today, God's been saying, "Hey, you need to surrender your life to me. You've been holding out. That's what you need to do." For some of you here, you may need to honor your marriage and stay faithful. You may need to seek forgiveness for yourself because of what you've done, or you may need to forgive someone else. You may need to acknowledge and confess a sin. How or where do I need to obey God in my life right now? Now remember, obedience is always active. So the next question is, what is the action of trust for me? How am I going to demonstrate that trust? Now don't make it harder than it needs to be. I would just say, whatever it is, get off your duff and do it. Be obedient to what you know. And that might mean just letting God handle a situation that you've been trying to control yourself and saying, okay, God, I'm going to give that to you. It might be you walking away from an unhealthy or an immoral relationship. It could be you making a phone call that you've been putting off for too long. You know, life, sadly enough, is going to be messy. Christmas is really about how God can bring life even in a mess. And Christmas is our promise that he can. Let's pray. Father, you are full aware of the messiness of this world and how that mess creeps into every one of our lives. And today we thank you for a young man and a young woman named Joseph and Mary who somehow had the presence of mind and the faith to trust you in an amazing mess that you turned into the world's greatest blessing. Father, I know there's folks in this room today who are in a bit of a mess. And they need to know that you are with them in the mess. And that you have a plan and a purpose for how you want to use the mess in order to be a blessing in their life. So I pray that you'd help us to have the faith and the trust in you today. You've already proven to us your love in Jesus Christ. If you did not spare your own son, how would you not also, along with him, be willing to graciously give us all things? I pray, God, that in the midst of our mess, we would be able to trust that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.